Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a comedy parenting podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
Do I have enough wine? Is there enough wine? Can I have a straw for the bottle?
There's not enough wine for a night like this. Whoa. Oh, no. Hey.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Bonnie.
And this is I Shouldn't Have Had Kids.
This is a comedy parenting podcast created just for you and your quarantine pleasure.
Actually, we started pre-quarantine.
We did, back when life was simple and places like grocery stores were safe.
Oh, the good old days. We're podcasting for parental sanity, ours and yours.
Let's just keep our fingers crossed on that one, okay? We've got another year to go.
Day by day. Take it day by day.
We're keeping this thing called parenting real by saying the things out loud that most parents, like you, we know it's you, actually keep to themselves.
We are inspired by the way our three boys move through their lives, the choices they make, and the things they say.
We look upon them in wonder, and then we say to each other,
I shouldn't have had kids. Please remember, we're not experts at anything that might actually help you with anything at all. And if that fact bothers you, we cordially invite you to file your complaint under not our problem.
Please. I don't want you to be concerned for our three boys. They are 22, 19, and almost 16. Mm-hmm. And they have given us permission to share their stories. And the reason that we share their stories is sometimes to poke a little fun at kids because kids are ridiculous. but it is also to help illustrate just how damn hard it is to parent. And we make mistakes all the time, which is why you cannot consider us experts, but you can learn from our mistakes. And every once in a while, we do it okay.
Yeah, we do it okay.
Yeah.
We've got three nice kids.
We do have three nice kids. Yeah. And
I would say most of the stories, though, are an absolute reflection on us.
Oh, I don't know about most, but, you know, there's always the firefighters being called to our house in the middle of the night that we slept right through. That had nothing to do with us.
No.
That was all Tigger.
That was...
And if you don't know that story, oh, my God, go back and listen to some old episodes because it is a funny one.
I think that's
one.
Episode one right there.
No.
We really doled it out hard. We probably should have thought about that. I mean, there could be a whole episode around the firemen coming to the house.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And the boot prints and the rearranged furniture and
All right. God. Hey, tonight it's not about firefighters. It's not about firemen in the middle of the night mucking up the front room.
What?
I know, sorry, news break.
Well, what is it about?
News break.
News flash boo 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 boo.
I meant news flash or breaking news, but instead it became news break. I'm going to adopt that. I'm sending that to CNN.
Oh, yeah.
Just, yeah, they can just like break in with that.
Excuse me, Mr. Cooper. I have an idea for your segment.
Oh, my God. Anderson Cooper. I didn't see it, but I heard him on, I think, NPR or somewhere. I don't know where. He
Heard him on CNN?
Oh, maybe. No.
I don't know.
He gave himself a haircut.
Yeah.
And in the back with his buzz razor thing.
Yeah, his clippers.
He's got a bald spot.
A buzz razor.
Yeah, sure.
This news break is brought to you
by Buzz Razors.
Anderson's Buzz Razor.
All right. So tonight, no firefighters. No firefighters. Footprints, none of that. Tigger's a part of the show tonight. And in case you're wondering, because you are new, we've given our kids nicknames to protect their innocence.
Yep. So let's
like
go through it.
They have any innocence.
So the oldest is Tigger because he is just the happy-go-lucky guy bouncing through life.
That's right.
Like boing, boing. And then next up is Lola. And he named himself because
whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And then there's Shy Guy. And that one is self-explanatory. This is the 15-year-old who never says a word.
He never says a word and he doesn't like the name. But here's the deal, dude. Let us know what you want your pseudonym to be and we'll use it. But since you don't speak.
Yes.
I think you're probably going to be Shy Guy forever.
Tigger is calling as we speak. Hang on. I'm going to answer this just a second. Hello. Is this Tigger? Oh, hi. He said, hello. Yes, this is Tigger.
We're on the air.
We're podcasting right now. What can I do you for?
I didn't realize you guys were recording tonight. I hope that you have a great rest of your recording session. Just wanted to chat and check in about a few things. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So thank you for picking up, even though you're recording. I don't know why you did.
Because you're a part of the show.
That's right. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Okay. Love you, too. Bye.
He said I love you both.
See, aww. Proof. Proof and point. Point and proof or something.
What?
God, my phrases tonight. It's been a long
What's
week.
Your point and proof?
He's like, I love you both very much. We did a good job of raising him.
Yeah.
Mostly. Anyway, so Shy Guy gets a new name if he ever decides to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
share
and we'll do it.
Share with us what he thinks his nickname should be.
Anyway, what is the show about? You keep getting us right to the edge.
I know. Tonight we're going to talk about why our children are so much better than yours and everybody else's out there, because we have the world's best children and everybody deserves a medal.
I love that voice.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody deserves a medal.
I'll bring it back.
I cannot wait to get into this, because the whole everyone gets a medal thing, while you like to tell me that I am that coach.
Yes.
I hate everyone gets a medal.
Well, then just hang on to that thought. First, I want to talk about shit I love.
Which I'm renaming.
You are? What is
it? Yeah, I want to call this the shit list.
Oh my God, but what about new listeners? They won't know what it is.
Well, they need to get on board.
That's right. Start back at episode one and catch yourself up.
What do you mean new listeners? We have, no, I want new listeners. I mean, I want additional listeners. I don't want new listeners.
Speaking of listeners, I just want to say one thing.
But, no, you can say it.
Okay.
What do you want to say?
I really, you know, I've developed a fine appreciation, and I had a pretty good appreciation for what was important in life.
But now it's fine.
Now it's like I have a fine tip on it. I really, what?
It's just funny tonight.
I know. I mean, not I know, but.
I know. I have a fine tip on it.
Oh, it's a fine point. I want to put a fine point on it.
You cannot get your phrases.
I can't get my metaphors straight.
You're struggling.
I am struggling, and it's real. I just wanted to say thank you to all the listeners that we do have. I love the fact that you meet us back here every week. I love when somebody messages us or somebody walks up to us that we know in real life, IRL. Mm-hmm. I was going to say IRL. I couldn't spit it out, of
Except
course.
No one walks up to us in real life anymore.
Well, that's true. But it used to be.
If they did, I'd punch them. Stand back.
And, you know, they just spontaneously share stories with us. They tell us about their life as a kid or raising their own kids. And it's really, it means something, especially right now, I think, in the pandemic. It's just really nice to meet you here every week in the Bombcast Studio, which is the name of our studio.
You got it right.
I know. First time.
Bombcast Studio.
That may actually be the first time. And we are on show 27,
6.
26B?
I don't know. But let me tell you why it's called the Bombcast Studio.
Okay.
First of all.
Oh, you're not telling me.
You, the listeners.
Yes.
Voted on that name.
That's right.
But that name was even up for consideration because we are just down the hall from an actual bomb shelter in our home.
In our 1960s mid-century modern home. It makes total sense.
The horse is dead, sweetie.
Well, otherwise it doesn't make sense to talk about a bomb unless you're, of course, filthy rich and you have a bomb cast or a pandemic proof sort of sitch out in the middle of Arizona somewhere underground 3 miles.
Wow.
It's the rich preppers. They've got, there are.
Well, anyway, I'm just going to cut you off because here's the deal. The bomb, now I can't even speak.
Bombcast
this is
studio.
A virus that you've given me. No, the bomb shelter, it's not like, I don't want you to picture like a bank vault. It's just that this house, they did definitely carve out of some rock to do the first floor. And so it was a natural spot, I think, for this mid-century modern house to have something that would be
so it's
a shelter if there was a fallout. But what's my point? My point is that we have, it's already quiet. It's so quiet down here anyway.
Yeah,
this is just such a great room. And the actual bomb shelter makes a kick-ass wine cellar,
everybody. And that's a good thing for a pandemic.
The wine is my pandemic juice. And we need a large supply.
My pandemic juice.
Because what is this, week 12?
I don't even want to know.
It's like fucked.
It's been a long time.
Oh, did we mention that at the top of the hour?
What?
We swear a lot.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's another thing to file under Not Our Problem.
Yeah.
If the F word offends you or...
We drop a few.
Same sex issues offend you.
This is not your show.
Yeah, you need to
get on out of here.
And if you take yourself too seriously, sorry.
Get on out of here.
Anyway, that's the rundown. But before we get to why our children are so much better than your children.
Yeah, let's go over our shit list.
Yeah, we're talking shit list. I love that.
Right? Because it's tongue-in-cheek. It's not the shit list at all. It's like, it's the shit list.
Well, yes.
Oh, it's so layered. It's like a fucking cake.
Well, there's one more layer. We are the biggest fans. We are the presidents of the fan club of Schitt's Creek. And so I like...
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, I had someone text me the other day, my friend Jessica, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I told her about Schitt's Creek.
I'm sorry. Are we talking about the woman who doesn't believe in Oxford commas? Because if we are...
Oh, that's her... Jess. Sorry. Oh, my God. That's Jess. Oh, they both have a last name that starts with an S. I can't... This is like being in grade school when there were 16 Jennifers. No. Jess...
Who doesn't believe in Oxford
work
commas.
Jess. Well, I don't know if it's that she believes in it and she edits mine out. Right? Because there it is. She's
whatever.
Like,
if
goodbye.
If you edit out an Oxford comma, you don't believe in it. And I'm looking at you, Teresa. And you, Ginger.
Okay.
These are my coworkers who just are not fond of the Oxford comma like I am.
Well, all that said,
yes.
And that was a great moment. My friend Jessica Houston texted me out of the blue the other day. Well, not out of the blue. She's my friend, but she texted and it said, "Thank you for Schitt's Creek," or something like that. Like, and I think
that's right, Jess.
It was something like that.
Welcome
basically.
To the club.
Yeah. And so she's been keeping me abreast of where they are because we're watching it our second time through.
Yes, and loving it even more, I think.
It's just absolute, it's just lovely television.
This is the dead horse moment on I Shouldn't Have Had Kids because we talk about Schitt's Creek a lot. And I'm sorry,
you know
but
why?
You know what? It's so good. That's why.
Because here's the thing.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you.
Uh-huh.
If you need something right now that doesn't have anything negative in it.
Nothing negative.
Schitt's Creek is for you. It's they're short episodes, like 26 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that.
It's 22 minutes of absolute fucking pure comedic bliss.
No, it is like a little bit of, it's like a little medicine.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Yeah, anyway, you're right. The horse is
dead.
Okay. Neither one of those were horse noises.
It's a good thing we're married. To each other.
All right.
All right. Shit list.
Shit list.
I've got maybe a couple. And I'm going to start right off the bat.
You have four bullets here.
Okay. You know what? Don't tell people how many I have. I want them hanging on the edge of their seat.
Okay.
Shoot.
You may or may not have four bullets here.
All right. Here's the deal. I'm on Facebook the other night.
Okay.
And I'm looking for a photo of... the car that my high school sweetheart Brian owned.
Because, oh, yeah. You can see that on our Instagram.
Yes. I told this story last week about getting into this, a 61 Impala. And
I don't remember.
We were at a gas station. He went inside. He said, it was a rag top. And he said, will you put the top down while I'm in there? And I said, sure, because he had just shown me how to do it. Well, I didn't pay very close attention, which is
shocking.
I know. And I did everything absolutely correctly, except I did not, I think it was unzip the back window because the back window was actual glass. And so when I took the top
still
down,
cracks me up.
He's walking out. And this is the beautiful car his grandfather has given him. And the back.
You told this entire story last week. Cut to the chase.
Oh,
or you can't have this many bullets on the shit list.
Okay. So anyway, I was looking for a picture of that card. If you want the rest of that story, go to
last week's episode.
And so I go onto Facebook and I message him. And I haven't talked to him in, I don't know, maybe 5 years at least. And I'm like, hey, Brian, hi, how you doing? I don't even think I said, how you doing? I said, what was the car that you drove that I broke the back window in?
And he immediately responded.
Immediately responded.
Like whatever it was.
Yeah, 1961 Impala. And he said, why? And I said, well, because... Oh, I sent him the picture.
63. I just looked.
I sent him a picture of it. And while we're talking... Now, gosh, he's been married for I don't know how many years to a woman who I've never met. Her name is Peggy. And every once in a while, like when I go on Facebook and I'll see a comment that he says, I'm like, oh, I wonder what their life looks like. And, you know, I stalk.
I hope he listens to this show.
He doesn't listen to it, so it doesn't matter.
I'm going to reach out.
Anyway, so we're talking. We're chatting back and forth about the Impala because I sent him the picture and he thinks that I own one. And he's so excited.
He's
I'm like,
no,
I don't own one. But his brother, Scott, who I chat with all the time, actually has the grandfather's Impala whose back window I crushed, shattered into 1,000 pieces.
Did you notice the window wasn't in that in the car?
No.
In the picture, picture I gave you? Yeah, I guess they never replaced it.
I'm just kidding.
That's very funny.
You're scratching your head. I had you. You're so sweet. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Okay, now you've, like, I don't even know what I was
saying. Scott has the car.
All right, so anyway, I'm talking or chatting with Brian. And I go to his wife's Facebook page.
You're stalking
because I
their
see,
family.
Yeah, I'm stalking. Yep. No, I'm stalking her.
Oh.
Because I let, you know, every time I look at what she posts, I like her even more and more. And this time I run across like just the best little nugget that made the shit list this week. Are you ready? Get your pencil, get your pen, get your little fingers going because I want you to write this down.
Okay.
All right. Go to TikTok and look up Tabitha Brown. And her handle is I am Tabitha Brown, the world's favorite mom. So it's I am Tabitha Brown. This woman, how would you describe her? She's her first TikTok. Let me describe her.
I was clearing my throat to give it my best shot.
Okay. Her first TikTok is her in a bathrobe. And she's probably, I don't know, maybe 40 years old, something like that. And mm-hmm. she's got a teenage daughter and a teenage son. And they all have, she's got two avocados and her daughter has a banana and her son has like potatoes or something. And they're all dancing to this music really close to the camera. And it is hilarious. And then come to find out, she just wants to learn how to use TikTok. So the first three or four videos are of her
learning
using it badly.
With her kids.
And her kids are like, they won't be quiet. And she's rolling her eyes at them. Please be quiet. I just want to make a TikTok video. It's so role reversal. But then she gets really spot on. So you got to go find her. She's made the shit list and for a very good reason. That was my short version.
Wow, that was...
I know. I just talked too much.
I think
much.
That canceled out a couple more.
Come on now. No. Should I go with another one? I'll go fast.
Okay.
All right.
Prove
so
it.
When we sit in our office, we look out on our front yard.
We do.
And we look at each other. So two nice views.
Sort of.
What do you mean sort of?
Well, I can't really see over the top
oh,
of
I
your
computer.
Oh, I
thought you meant sort of a nice view.
I knew.
Fuck you.
I know. I threw that out there so you'd think that. But no, I have to sit up really, really, really tall and look up over the top of your computer.
Yeah, that's because I have my computer up high.
I know, because you're tall.
No, because I don't want it up my nose when I'm on a Zoom meeting.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's that.
Oh.
Anyway, so I'm looking either at Ellen or I'm looking out in the front yard. And we had one crow who comes all the time and he's just got this perch on the top of our flat roof on our mid-century modern house.
Oh, I am seriously going to punch you. If you say mid-century modern again.
Anyway, the MCM house has a flat roof. And so I decided, you know what? I'm in quarantine. I want something that makes
me
happy. I'm in quarantine. There we go. Mm-hmm. And I go out with bread and I start feeding this guy. And so now I go out every day at 3:00 and he's brought a buddy along. I don't know if he's like courting her or what the hell's going on, but it's the two of them.
Maybe it's another dude, just a smaller crow dude.
Well, it could be. But anyway, they're now my best buds.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think right now that they are somewhere in a studio doing a crow cast.
A crow cast.
Saying, we've got a human that feeds us.
I love them. And so I took a video. I took a video. So I will
post the video.
Post
but
it.
Here's the deal. I was out working in our front yard way out near the street. And I was shoveling rock. And I'm like shoveling. And I turn around and there's your crow. There's the crow. And I'm like... Hi.
Oh, hey, crow.
And he flies away. And so I go back to shoveling and turn around. He's back. He's standing there in the driveway looking at me. And I think, you know, they are brilliant.
Yeah.
I think that the crow was trying to figure out who you are. If I was you.
Oh.
And I was turned around. So it was waiting for me to turn around. And it looked and it like tilted its head and like got a good look. And it was like, nope. And it
flew
away. Yeah. But it needed a couple. I seriously think it was trying to figure out if I was going to pull out the bread or what?
Well, I went out today.
Yeah.
And Lola's like, oh, can I come out too? Can I feed them bread too? And I'm like, everyone wants in on my crow action. These are my crow buddies. Anyway, so we're out there and we're tearing off
bread.
Thank you so much.
You're
tearing
welcome.
Off bread, throwing it in the yard and up on the roof. And they're both up there. And then all of a sudden they take off. And I'm like, well, this is weird. This is odd behavior. Was it something I said? And then we see the eagle.
Oh,
and so they've spotted an eagle.
Nice.
And they have taken off and they chase this eagle literally right over our heads about 50 feet above us. It was unbelievable.
So here's what I want to know. To all the people who've always worked from home.
Yes.
Has nature always been like this? and the assholes that go to work. Like,
never
it's a
know.
Secret that
That's
you've
right.
been keeping from us
yes.
because I have never seen so many birds.
I know.
We had hummingbirds hump in front of us the other day.
Oh my God. No, no, wait.
So
this is a really funny story. So we are out in front of the
house.
This
is my story.
And okay, you tell the story then.
We're standing out in front of the house chit-chatting with the mailman because I have a...
Chuck!
My mailman knows one of my coworkers who lives in Texas, and
we
it's like a weird
Chuck.
Connection. And
yes.
so, like, Chuck gives me insider information on the company that Jim probably shouldn't have shared. So we're chit-chatting with Chuck, and we're a good 10 feet away. It's all socially appropriate.
Now, this is the first time I've ever talked to Chuck.
And out of nowhere comes two entwined hummingbirds, and that just, they come down and they hover, like, right at our knees, right...
Right between us.
Right between
us.
Like, 5 feet from me and 5 feet from Chuck, and they're like...
they're going at
they
it.
They are, like, going at it, and they're, like, swirling around, and the one is turning hot pink, and then...
Yeah, it turned bright red
and then
or
all
pink
of
or...
a sudden, they dart out of our eyesight into a big bush, and then they both come out separately and go on their way, and Chuck's like, well, I've never seen that. I'm like, no, I don't even know.
At one point,
it totally ended the conversation. He's like, "Well, you folks have
later.
A good afternoon." I got more mail to deliver.
I would like to have. I would like to see a picture of my face when they came together, and then one pushed the other one up against the house.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm like, that, oh my God!
It was some serious. They were humming.
They were. It was hummingbird humpers.
I think that's actually
one of my
bullets on the shit list. Was
you
the
just forgot to write it down?
Hummingbirds. Oh my God, that was funny.
The hummingbirds. That's what we're gonna call them from now on in our family.
Yeah, and it stopped conversation. Like there was total awkward. Like we were all just staring at what was happening. Like, okay, well, it doesn't really matter what we were talking about before.
See ya.
Nature will find a way. But I do want to know. We see eagles and there's crows we're making friends with. And like, I was running today and a deer was just like, hey, what's up? Like right next to me.
Yeah.
Has it always been like that during
you know
the
what?
Day? And
all the
now
stay
we're just here?
All the stay-at-home or work-from-home people are like, fool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I've been feeding birds off my shoulder for years.
Oh, my God. Okay, so those are two of my...
Nature's See? Back. We are the disease.
It's true.
There's dolphins in Venice.
Oh, that's...
No, there's not.
Funny.
There never was.
Okay, it's your turn. That was my fast crow story.
Oh, that was your fast crow story. Well, one of my bullets is for sure my cousin Stacy.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to like
I've never met.
Call out her last name or her city or anything like that. But Stacy, you know who you are. But she's put the nicest post up on our social. Just saying how much she loved the show and loved us and how, you know, fun she thought it was. And it was just so great because... I don't know who of my family listens.
Yeah.
I don't know who on that side of the family accepts us as a couple. Like, I just am 100% out of touch. I mean, I would like to assume.
That they all do?
That they all do.
And the ones who don't?
Yeah, well, I just don't even know.
It's, we don't care.
The point is, it was a lovely, heartfelt note to get from her. And Stacy, I think you are fabulous. I think you're hilarious.
She was saying you were making her laugh since.
But that is true. I am more funny than she is.
You're more funny than anyone I know, actually, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. So, Stacy, thanks for posting that. I love you. And you made this week's shit list.
Oh, how about that, Stacy? Congrats. You know who else did? All of the fabulous people who, yeah, I think we've told you before once or twice that
we live in a mid-century modern home.
Just shut it. Okay, we started a face mask group when the pandemic began, and we knew that there was going to be a shortage of PPE. And so we've continued to work on it. And these sewists who are part of, there are two or three very healthy and vibrant groups in town.
Yeah, shout out to Kim and Jen.
Oh,
they started
yes,
one of them.
Yes.
Anyway, keep going.
So what I'm saying is, we have fabulous people who are continuing to sew face masks, and it makes me feel great mm-hmm. to know that we're connected with these people. And so all of you sewists from our little town, you made the shit list this week because I love you. You know what? We had an organization contact us and say we need to mask up our migrant farm workers and their children, but we can't find children's masks. And all I had to do was go to this Facebook group and say, hey, we need kids' masks, and boom.
Like 150.
Immediately.
Done.
Yeah, we've probably...
It's incredible.
It is. It's really... It feels great. And I love our cabana boy / delivery person.
Oh, Doug.
You know... Oh, Doug.
God. This man is like my hero.
All you have to do is text and say, hey, we need it. We have a delivery. And he's like... I'm on it. And he is literally in the driveway in 30 seconds.
I think he just parks down the street because I'm like, hey, we need something. And he's like rolling in his white Prius. I'm like, where were you? This is so weird. It's amazing.
Sometimes he rolls in a white Prius. Sometimes he rolls on a Ducati motorcycle.
We've got the photo to prove it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to use that. I'll post that photo. It's a photo of Doug in his whatever you say.
He's in a jacket.
He's in a leather jacket. He's in his biker leather jacket. And he's got face masks, plastic bags of face masks. And when I say bags, I'm talking like 50, 100 to a bag, right?
He shoved them into
his coat. So we'll post that picture. Dougie! So anyway, I love the face mask group's efforts. And I'm completely, completely impressed and humbled by all of them every single day.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Changing lives. And you know what? One of the doctors from the hospital told somebody in the group, or maybe told Jen, I can't remember. Anyway, said, you have saved lives.
Yeah.
You have absolutely saved lives with these face masks.
Here we go. What? My 15-second political PSA.
Okay, this is going to be 15 minutes, and it's going to get real heated.
No, it's not.
Buckle your seatbelts.
I'm going to keep it short this week.
Okay.
It's not hard to wear a mask.
Nope.
It makes a difference.
Yep.
It's not a violation of anything.
No.
Wear a fucking mask. If you don't wear a mask and give it to me, I feel like that's a violation of my civil liberties.
That's right.
And I will literally pepper spray your fucking eyes out.
Okay, let's take it on a softer note. We wear a mask.
To protect.
Each other.
Each other.
I protect you. You protect me. Period.
Wear a mask.
It's not political in Canada. It doesn't have to be political here.
Come on, let's be like Canada.
I would like to be like Canada.
Though, listener, if you're not wearing a mask because you can't get your hands on one or don't know what to do, email us. We'll get you a mask.
You want a mask?
Yeah.
You email us.
We will get you a mask.
That's right. I don't care where it has to go.
No questions asked except where you live because we need to know where to send the mask.
We have to have
the
address.
Other than that, I don't want to know anything about you.
Okay, what's your other shit list?
I don't really have one.
I do.
But I think that your last one is pretty good.
It's for both of us, really. Mm-hmm. I say this for you and for me. So last week... And we went down to Oregon to go see Tigger. And so we were going to spend the night because it's a long drive. It takes like 6 hours to get down there, 5.5 hours to get down there.
Well,
and then
we were going to go down with a big group of family and stay in a house and do a big weekend.
Yeah,
and then
pandemic.
Pandemic
problems.
Hit.
Yeah, that's right.
And it all got canceled.
So we decided to go down and we were thinking about spending the night. And then it just became too, you know, going to a hotel right now was just too freaky.
Hard pass.
Not worth it. So we went down. It was supposed to rain, but then it turned out to be nice. However, just in case it did rain, we brought a pop-up tent and we brought camping chairs to sit in.
We were so prepared.
We were so prepared. So
we looked like we were ready to sit outside and wait for concert tickets.
That's right.
Like we were ready to camp in a line all day long.
So we get there. We stop at the restaurant and pick up food to go. We meet Tigger at the park that is literally right next to his house. We leave the pop-up tent in the car because we're not going to need it because the sun is out and it's a beautiful day. And so we put up our camping chairs and we sit there and we're 6 feet apart and we can't hug because
that was weird.
Yeah, it's awful not to be able to hug your children. That was the world's worst. That was probably the worst moment, I think, of... Well, every moment is the worst moment of this pandemic, but that one was pretty bad. So we're sitting there and we have some big issues to talk about. And we're, you know, some of them are not contentious, but difficult, I would say.
Yeah.
And so we are working through this and it's a really great conversation. And and we're just winding down, and we've got to hit the road because we've decided not to spend the night, right? So we're kind of winding things down, and these dark, dark clouds come rolling in, and then the thunder comes rolling in.
It was like computer-generated.
It was bizarre.
I think that stuff happens in the Midwest more frequently than it does out here. It was crazy how quickly that weather moved in.
And so I looked at the sky, and you know how you can smell rain?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I think it's going to rain. And Tigger says, in that way that only a 22-year-old who knows exactly how the world works.
And the weather system.
I think it's going to rain, too, in about 7 minutes. And I don't even think he finished the word minutes.
What he meant was 7 seconds.
The sky opened up, and the most amazing rainstorm of my life propelled itself out of the sky and into our eyeballs and soaked us within 10 seconds. And we were like packing up our chairs and laughing and grabbing our food. And by the time we ran across the lawn to get to our car,
we were soaked. My clothes were soaked to the skin.
Yes.
To the point where now we're going to chafe. know what I mean.
And we
had to drive that way. You know where you're so wet and steamy, the car is fogged up.
Yes.
It's gross.
And the raindrops are so big. I'm like, I'm sure this is hail. And Tigger says, it's not hail. This happened the other day. They're just giant raindrops. And he goes running home the half a block to his house. We drive the car over there. And by the time we get out of the car and run up to the little overhang off of his front porch, giant hail balls are coming down and just peppering us. Just, it was an incredible experience. And so it was a little bit like we had this really hard conversation and then we were just washed of all of it.
Yep.
We were baptized. We were born again as a new family. It was very cool. Yeah, it was kind of spiritual. If you ask me, that's the last of my shit list, but it was worth it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Those are good shit list items this week. I'm really excited.
Let's get into this thing.
Oh, I would love to talk about why my children are so much better than everybody else's. You know, we are in the middle of a pandemic, but this is an infection of a different sort that almost all new parents and even brand new grandparents get. It's an infection that leads first-time parents to believe that their child is actually better than all other children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably evolutionary. And that Darwin could have seen this coming and probably described it. I call it parentitis.
Oh, I like it. Is that something you read somewhere or did you make that up?
No, I just think it just sounds like a good disease that all parents
get. I like
it.
Parentitis.
Yeah. Case in point.
What's the cure?
The second or
your
third child.
Your actual child. Yeah.
Yeah, your own children are eventually a cure.
A judgmental look from a friend. You're like, what was I thinking?
When Trigger was born, before he could even walk, he was using sign language because I taught it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you impressed?
I'm super impressed.
I was really impressed. And
you're like Jane Goodall in the
that's right.
Gorillas.
Does that mean you're calling Tigger a gorilla? Kind of.
I mean, whatever.
Whatever floats. Tigger's favorite book was all about Vespas and apis.
What?
A-P-I-S. Apis?
What the fuck is that?
The insects that mere mortals call bees and hornets.
Was it a big picture book?
It was not a big picture book. It was actually kind of scientific, and he could tell the difference between bumble and honeybees, hornets and wasps at 4 years old. Seriously, he is amazing. Amazing.
Oh, my God.
He read early. In fact, we were so unbelievably proud of him the day that he drew his name in chalk on our deck. Earlier, I'm pretty damn sure, than any other child has ever drawn their name in chalk on the deck.
Even though it was illegible and was just squiggles and...
No, it did say T-I-double-G-R.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
I was so impressed. I threw a party and I baked a cake just to celebrate him. No, I didn't really do that. I'm just making that up.
I can all of this. I didn't know you then. I didn't meet Tigger till he was 6. Nope, that's a lie. Till he was 9. But I can see this.
Well, parentitis. I mean, what a mind our son had. Behold, Tigger, signer of languages, reader of words.
First of his name.
Ruler of Apis mellifera.
The fuck?
It is just this condition that really should disappear after the second child is born, or you catch your brilliant offspring, you know, the future ruler of the free world, picking her nose and eating it. And that's when it all comes crashing down, right? Anyway, for lots of parents, it does not ever go away.
It's not gone away for me and Shy Guy.
It has not gone away for you and
I
Shy Guy.
I have a hard case of parentitis.
If you see him picking his nose and eating it, would it go away? What? I'm just saying.
Ooh, if he did that, he'd have to move out.
I'm sure he does it.
No.
Or has done
no.
it. No. Oh, see what I mean?
Well, I'm visualizing him as 15, picking his nose and eating it. But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about little... Maybe. As a, I never caught it. That's for sure.
Ew. He would never do that. He was the clean... He didn't want mud on his hands.
No, he would freak out if his hands were dirty. And he'd be like, he'd hold them up like the universal sign for a napkin or... was it Anchorman? I don't know what to do with my hands. He would like hold them up and shriek, they're sticky! I'm like, okay, well, here's a wet wipe.
I mean, just cry. Just yeah. like burst into tears.
Oh,
and
my God.
Once again, pepper everybody. Like a little machine gun tears.
I want to post the picture of him holding himself up near the camp. Near the tent door where he's literally holding himself up with two fingers.
Yes. So he doesn't want to get his dirt.
Yes. Oh my God. That cracks me up.
Yeah. Well, I just think that what happens when you suffer from parentitis, when you
that's our topic.
Yeah, remember that?
Parentitis.
When you really think your child is so perfect that you just end up, you don't see the world for what it is. And you certainly don't see your children for who they are, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's actually a big disservice to
the
them.
Kids?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Because it doesn't acknowledge, you know, who they truly are. Like, if you have parentitis and you're like, my kid's the best, they're the smartest, they're the fastest, they're the whatever, and they're like not, and they know it, and they know what your expectation is, or they hear you talking about it.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And I think that's picked up on probably a pretty young age. Now, remember, we're not experts at all, right?
No.
But they're sponges.
Yeah.
And so they're picking up on those expectations, I think.
Yeah, you know what that makes me think of is when like our fellow parents, when their kids, you know, let's say they play soccer at the age of six, they start at 5 or 6, right?
6 months old.
6 months old.
When you're 6 months pregnant and you've signed your kid up for soccer and you tape some cleats to your belly and you roll around like, no.
Okay, so they're pretty good out there. They're the only 5-year-old that's actually putting their foot on the ball. And suddenly this parent gets this idea that my kid is going to be the next Pele.
I was going to say Pele, but that's so old school.
Old school. Yeah, I don't know who. Hope.
Hope Solo?
Yeah.
She's a goalie.
Oh, that doesn't count then.
Now, I'm not...
Who's the one I love so much?
Rapinoe.
Oh, Rapinoe.
Yeah. Now, I adore to all the goalies out there, that's
hey,
great.
Hey, if you know Megan Rapinoe, make sure she hears about this podcast, okay?
Hey, for anyone that happens to know Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird, stuck in Seattle or wherever the hell they are.
It's not too far away.
Let them know about this podcast, because they would give a shit.
Oh, that's right. They don't even have kids yet, do they?
No.
No, yeah, okay.
No.
Well, they might laugh.
Seattle's sport power couple. Fuck, can you imagine being a fly on the wall at that dinner conversation when they're like,
I'd like to be at that dinner
Let's
table.
Work out.
Oh my God, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Huh. So back to the point I was trying to make.
I love it.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
So you've got this kid. He can put a foot on the ball or she can put a foot on the ball and you decide that this is the next great Pele. And so you focus, you throw all of your energy into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the soccer clubs and then it's the traveling soccer clubs and it's the extra lessons and it's the pressure. And it's the one sport training. And then suddenly you've got a soccer injury.
Mm-hmm.
You've got somebody who hates soccer.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody who's freaking out because their parents expect so much from them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got somebody who... perhaps tries to get a scholarship to college on soccer, but I mean, it's so difficult to do that. Maybe they get it, maybe they don't. And then they just quit playing because it's just...
Because you had parentitis, you
because
selfish
you had...
bitch. You want to know what, though? This is a total segue and has nothing to do with our thing at all.
Okay.
But you saying that, it just occurred to me that actually the amount of stories I've heard of kids who grew up in a very similar way,
yeah,
where it was like one sport wonder and
yep.
their parents were all in and it was supportive and loving, whatever.
Yep.
Who knows? There's lots that lead up to it. Scholarship, yep. injury, no more scholarship.
Right.
Do you know how many times I've heard that story?
Oh, my favorite yoga teacher, that's what happened to her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a catch-22 because you know those kiddos, like, sports scholarships are not easy to come by.
That's right.
At all. Like, baseball, for example, it's almost non-existent,
mm-hmm.
especially at, like, a big school. The point is...
Sorry, shy guy.
If you work that hard with your developing body
yes.
to get offered a scholarship, you are really prone to injury. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
No,
so
but that's
never
a
mind.
Good, that's a good topic. We should talk about that.
Sports
what is that repetitive?
Stuff.
Yeah, what is that injury, that repetitive motion injury or something like that, where you are, yeah. are moving your body in the same way over and over and over again? It's like mm-hmm. tennis elbow. You know, you can only, or when pitchers throw their arm out.
Or carpal tunnel from all the typing I do. I got a scholarship for typing, and then I got the carpal I got the CT, and they were like, no, kid, you've got no future here. And I'm like, but I want to type.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay.
I liked your face during that. I wish I'd taken a picture.
Thanks. So that's one form of parentitis, where your kid is the next star.
Yeah, but you know what happens with that is that...
What?
It's just that... There's something that there's a morph that happens. So you're really excited for your kids and you love the fact that they found something that they love. And so then you throw all this attention at it and then you start to have big expectations. And then you start to look at the other parents whose kids are also good. And then suddenly there's this additional layer of, yes, you want to support your kid. And yes, you hope that they do really well and maybe they'll get a college scholarship. And I want Tommy to be better than Johnny.
Ooh.
Kind of social climbing parent, you know, the one who is standing next to you on the soccer field mm-hmm. screaming at the team or more embarrassingly yelling at their own kid for not doing the right thing. Oh, I hate those parents.
Well, I love it when the parents yell at the ref and the ref is like 3 years older than the kids playing.
I know.
At least that's the way it is around here. Those poor refs.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's just keeping up with the Joneses and
yeah,
it's not
so,
good for you.
So the parentitis... just doesn't go away.
Mm-mm.
Or what's the cure
for parentitis?
Well, if you've got parentitis well into the kids' teen years, because I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have stood shoulder to shoulder with those parents on the baseball field.
Yeah,
and it is not just about their kid being the best, but mm-hmm. it's also, oh, your kid kind of sucks.
Yeah,
and it's like this because then that helps elevate.
Yeah,
even
that's
more,
right. Yeah,
you know, and yep. it's not outright. These aren't bad people.
No,
but it's definitely this vibe, and I'm like. This is stupid.
Well, I think
none of it is that important.
I think the cure is time.
Yeah.
I think those kids go off to college or they don't go off to college and they end up getting just a normal everyday job just like the rest of us schmucks. You know, they're not out there pitching for the major leagues. Every once in a while, absolutely. Somebody's got to do it. Maybe your kid will. But don't let it color or disinfect.
What are you thinking
world.
About?
Infect your world is what I meant.
Yeah. So there's a couple things here. We're all over the place.
We are.
So the parentitis where I noticed it the most with Shy Guy,
mm-hmm.
who was my first,
mm-hmm.
was at playdates.
What do you mean?
Well, that is really where I saw these parents with their drooling toddler.
Yes.
Looking at their child with their glowing aura, and they were like, my kid is so advanced.
It's
and
usually
I'm like,
first time,
it's true.
First time
Nobody
children.
Else chews on a building block quite like your kid. Like, are you fucking kidding me? How is your kid advanced? And, like, what are you talking about? It's a lump of baby fat on the ground, and it's adorable.
Yes, don't get us wrong.
But I see no advancement. I see no levels of skill here. They're all drooling.
Okay, there is a universal experience. I brought up this example of Tigger with the sign language because
yeah.
I still see this happening all the time with parents who are suffering from parentitis.
Yeah.
When you like meet their baby for the first time, you know, and you haven't seen them for a while mm-hmm. and the baby's like, well, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5 months old, something like that.
Yeah.
And you're talking to them and you're like, oh, she's so cute. And the parent says, can you say thank you? And they do the thank you sign on their chin,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sign language
yeah.
thank you sign.
Okay.
And they want their baby to do it. And when the baby does it, they look at you expectantly like, do you see it?
<I know.
laughs> Do you know what I'm talking about?
This Seriously.
Is, like, this is the next Prince Charles. This is the next Einstein.
This is the next Prince Charles?
That was a really bad example. And
edit
what a hard
that
night.
Out. That's so dumb. He's such a dick.
He is a dick.
Sorry. The next King of England is an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, thanks so much for that. Did you call me dumb or you called my example dumb?
Yeah, this is the next Prince Charles.
Shut up.
The baby signed thank you. Oh my God. That is absolutely precious. No, but playdates, I think, were just an absolute shit show of parentitis for sure. And I really don't think I had it when Shy Guy was little. I have developed my parentitis.
Yes, you have.
As he's gotten older.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
Yeah.
And
although I will say that I think we've done a pretty good job of letting the kids find their own own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like Lola is the actor and loves politics and Tigger. And he found that all by himself.
No, totally. And that's I definitely have comments about that. But the parentitis just straight up is just that my kid can do no wrong.
Yeah, until you see it.
Attitude. And so like you are hosting a play date and the kid's an absolute shit. Mm-hmm. And the parent comes and you're like, well, this thing happened. And they're like, no possible way. And it's like, well.
No, it actually did.
You think I, as an adult with no skin in the game, am lying to you about this? Like, isn't it possible that your 7-year-old just did this? What is in it for me to stand here and awkwardly explain to you that your kid, like, smeared peanut butter on the fucking couch?
What about the time?
I know exactly what you're going to say. The Christmas party.
The Christmas party.
With the headbutting.
With the headbutting little sister.
So one of Shy Guy's friends, who's awesome, was here for a Christmas party. We invited the whole family. His little sister thought it would be hysterical to headbutt Shy Guy's older brothers in the junk.
Right. Over and over again.
And they said, stop. They said, no. They said, please don't. They finally came and let us know. But I told the parents and they were like, no way. She wouldn't do that.
Oh, isn't that cute?
So my teenage boys have left their friends to come upstairs to let me know that a 9-year-old girl is headbutting their junk just for fucking fun.
Was she 9?
I don't know.
I don't think she was
that
old.
But the point is, they refuse to believe it. But think about the facts.
That's parentitis, ladies and gentlemen.
Why would my kids mention their privates in any circumstance to you people? Because it was happening and they needed it to stop.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my God. Like, but see, when I have been approached by other parents who have said, hey, your kid did this thing, do you know who I believe? I have always listened to what the parent had to say. Like, let's get to the bottom of this. Because I can't imagine that they would just say that to me.
No. Oh, you mean about our kids? I'm sorry.
If a parent's like, hey, you know, this thing happened. I'm like, let's work it out.
Yeah.
I would never blow off another adult telling me something. Because clearly there was something that occurred.
Yeah, and that is the worst moment. Let's face it. I mean, maybe
that's worse that for both parties involved. You don't want to be the one who has to say something.
Yes.
Because that's awkward,
yes.
Right? I think you might suffer from parentitis, but I have to tell you that this thing happened. And you don't want to be the parent hearing it. That shit makes me crazy. What do you have to say? I'm losing it.
You are absolutely losing it. No, I was thinking about the time that Lola, who has gone through life, he's one of those people who he learns kinetically, right?
Cause and effect.
If I do this, then what's going to happen? So he has to touch it. He has to feel it. He has to move things through space. And then he gets it. And he's like, oh, okay. So he takes him, like it's a camp.
Riding lessons.
Right. Yeah. Riding as in on a horse.
Yeah.
And I go to pick him up one day and he's taking this with a few friends. And one of them is one of his good friends. She's the same age, but she's a tiny itty bitty drink of water. And so I go to pick up Lola, and itty bitty drink of water's mom walks over to me and says, I have to tell you that Lola hit my itty bitty drink of water on the head when she was wearing her helmet. And I know exactly why he did it. He did it because, oh, she's got a helmet on. I wonder how well that works. You know, I can actually walk you through his thought process. But it was mortifying.
But did you say, no, he didn't?
No.
Did you blow it off?
No, I absolutely knew it happened.
There are parents out there who would completely downplay it.
Yeah, probably. And that is parentitis. And if you are that parent, we are here. This is a place where we can help you. We may not have done it right, and we may not have done it well, but we can spot parentitis when it rears its ugly head. And if you're acting like that, we're here to tell you that you don't want to do that because it makes you look like an a-hole.
I think parentitis, too, is where you have this vision of, you have this
hope?
No, you send your kid out in the world to do whatever it is.
Right.
Go to a practice, go to a play date, go to a lesson, something where you leave. And in your mind, you know exactly how it's going to go down and how they're behaving.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not exactly how they're acting or behaving. In fact, as a soccer coach, I can guarantee you that none of the young men who got dropped off were acting in a way that their parents thought they were acting. Oh, my God.
Well, it always blew my...
That was a lesson in love.
It always blew my mind as... I don't know if it was when the boys were getting older or what, but there were segments in their life where they would go off to somewhere and I'd be like, oh, how did the play date go? Your boys are so kind and so nice. And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Why aren't they that way at home?
Yes.
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah.
Scored on that.
Oh, that's so funny because as adults, mm-hmm. let's just call them adults for a second.
Yeah.
We'll like come leave a dinner party and they'll have driven separately.
Yeah.
And then everyone's at home. And then there's a text that comes in from the host. Tigger stayed and did all the dishes. I'm sorry. Fucking what?
He won't even put dishes in the dishwasher
at our
house.
He did his dishes at your house?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's nice, right?
That is
what you want to hear.
Yes.
But come on. You can push your chair in at our house. So, you know, we're not asking you to wash all of our pottery dishware, but you can push your chair in.
Oh, it's true. I sometimes have envy about the way they act.
But that's
at other
what
people's
you want.
Houses. It's true.
You do want that, the scale to be tipped on into the kindness.
Yes.
And the doing
politeness.
Yeah,
and the
doing that.
Respect
for sure.
And responsibility.
But the irony. The hypocrisy of it all. But here's the thing about the older kid parentitis that I want to bring up pandemic-wise.
Yeah.
Is because all of that kind of culminates and manifests itself into one competition or another.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these high school kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all suffer from a little parentitis at that point because when Shy Guy goes up to bat, of course I want him to hit a home run.
Yeah.
Of course I want him to like do the clutch thing.
Yep.
You know? So yes, of course, there's some of that
well,
happens.
Well, there's wanting your child to do well and then there's, yeah, it's a fine line,
isn't
it?
It's a fine line.
Yeah.
But my point is we're in a position right now in the state of the world where there is no sports.
Yep.
There's no games.
Yep.
There's no choir concerts. There's no theater performances. There's no competitions. There's AP tests, ?
Mm-hmm.
There's pass-fail grades.
Mm-hmm.
The playing field, sort of, not for all socioeconomic levels, but just roll with me on this. The playing field is really level. There is no more, like, outright on display, my kid is better than your kid. Like,
yeah, you're not going to get on a stage and compare your son or your daughter's performance to somebody else's. So now the qualities that are most important for kids at this point in time is their technical ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to get on a Zoom call and to navigate all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is their ability to communicate and communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
It's their ability to handle stress.
Yep.
It is their ability to find, I mean, we have raised, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen.
We have fucking hardcore parentitis. We think our boys are pretty incredible.
It's true. We have raised an entire generation of kids.
Oh, I thought you were talking
so...
about our kids.
No.
Specifically. You want to start over?
No. Whoa. No, I'm fine. I'm fine with that misunderstanding. We don't need to cut that out. Our life is a series of misunderstandings.
Note to the editor, please cut that last segment out.
Okay.
Thank you.
The editor, dear.
Oh.
Okay, moving on. Can I make my point now?
Okay.
We have raised an entire generation of kids who are overscheduled, who have unbelievably high expectations set upon them,
mm-hmm.
who have to take every AP class known to mankind and do really well and start their own nonprofit in order to get into college and to get a scholarship so they can fucking afford college. I mean, we have just created this very busy life for these kids who really didn't get a chance, really did not get a chance to just go out there and play. Well, guess what?
Now they can.
Mother Nature said, look,
get
fools.
Get out there and play.
That's right. And so not only can they get out there and play and kind of discover what they love because they're bored. Boredom is good for kids, mm-hmm. for fuck's sake. But we can get to know them because we have time to get to know them. And I do think that that is the one silver lining out of all of this is that we are realizing what's at the end of the day, the most important thing, and that's our relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a coworker the other day, and he said that his silver lining is definitely the amount of time he's been spending with his kids,
yeah.
because it's not like they didn't before, but now it's in this new realm of creativity.
Yeah.
So, like, what wiffle ball game can we come up with?
That's right.
What can we do sitting around the campfire tonight?
That's
oh, my
right.
God, we're having a campfire on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's opened up a new way of being together.
We're playing tennis. We're playing doubles tennis, and we've never played tennis before.
No.
I don't even know why. I ordered a badminton set.
I ordered 4 tennis rackets and a can of balls on...
We're really bad, and we look dumb.
DicksSportingGoods.com, and they came 3 days later, and we were all set.
What happens is that when you do these activities, and you're doing them together, as opposed to the kid doing the activity and the parent...
Watching
or and
shuttling,
coaching,
yeah.
or... Yeah. Is that we are having a shared experience. And I think whether you're having that with your kids or whether you're having that with your best friend or you're having that with your spouse or you're having that with your neighbors, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We have slowed down and are having different sorts of experiences with each other. And they are shared experiences and not side-by-side play or the I'll do and you watch. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that I'm hoping that that lasts. And we have a year to practice because I don't think anything's happening in the next year besides working from home and waiting for school to start.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, yes. And I think...
What? Tell me,
I
honey.
Do feel sad for the... It's so difficult to figure out where I stand on this position because the social interaction...
Oh, yeah.
...is that the kids aren't having
yep.
with their peers.
Yep.
Like, we can only fill the gap so much. There is a huge hole for them. And I hope that there's a way that maybe parents can coordinate their what they're doing at home to stay safe so that they can create some germ circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
like, here's 4 families. We're all doing the exact same stuff.
We trust you.
We trust you.
We'll tell
so
you.
So we can, like, get
yep.
together and play badminton in the front yard.
Yep.
And the kids can, you know, like, hopefully people are being really clever with that because... Yes, this time with our kids is absolutely amazing. But when you say things like, we have a year to practice, I kind of feel like I'm going to throw up.
Well, especially if you have older kids, if you have teenagers. I mean, it's tough. It's
yeah,
tough
Shy
for teens.
Guy hasn't...
He hasn't seen his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, he's the driveway visits, but
yep.
there's been no meaningful hangouts for 12 weeks.
And by meaningful hangouts, you mean they don't get to kiss and hug.
Yeah.
The things that teens love to do.
Yeah.
God, it's going to be weird.
Because this isn't something that we're saying, you guys can't see each other. They know.
Yeah, they do. He hasn't even asked.
They know that it's not the right time yet.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's fucking political. If you have a brain in your head, then you also understand that, too. It's like, it's not a joke. This is not parents being punitive about, no, you can't have a play date.
No, it's life and death.
It's life and death.
Yeah.
It really is. And if you have a community that has no cases, that's because you're doing it right. So
yeah.
keep it up.
Yes.
I'm super proud of you.
Yes. I'm proud of everyone who's making a sacrifice right now to help flatten the curve across the country. And those
yeah.
of you who aren't, well, you know what I have to
you
say
need
to
flatten
you.
The curve and then you need to stand on it
that's
steadfast
right. Jump.
So it doesn't pop up again. Yeah, because I'm telling you, in the areas where you've opened up too fast, the numbers are right back up there again.
And on that happy note...
sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
I want to leave it on a... I just want to leave it on a high note. I do. Because...
Okay, you ready?
What?
Sorry.
I'm so don't know what to say to that.
Well...
There are so many things wrong with
really
that note.
There's really nothing... I'm not the one on a vocal performance scholarship. I can hardly
right.
talk.
Look, if you are out there doing the right thing to help flatten the curve, we admire you. You are our heroes.
Yeah, we do.
We are the wind beneath your wings. No, you are the
you
wind
are
beneath
the wind beneath our wings.
I'm going to get it right, but
yeah.
probably not during this podcast.
So if you're staying at home and you're listening to this or you're doing whatever and you're listening to this and you like it, here's what you can do for us is wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. It really helps. It would mean a lot to us. But if that's too much for you, that's okay. Just wear a mask.
Yeah, please do. And if you need a mask, you can email us at...
ishouldn'thavehadkids@gmail.com. And I am not kidding you.
Nope.
We will get a mask to you.
No problem.
We got a guy. We have access to masks from an incredible group of sewers. And that's the whole point, yeah, is to get them to people so that we can go about our daily lives as quickly as possible.
You know what? I'm going to put a mask on, snap a photo, and I'll stick it up on the on our social. And I'm going to make the family do that, too.
Just a big, big family mask photo.
Yes. We'll do it. We'll do it. And that will still protect their anonymity.
Yeah, because they're masked. They're masked.
All right, you guys, have a great week. I hope everything continues to flatten and that you enjoy yourselves and spend some time with each other and really get to know one another and make use of this unprecedented experience.
Oh, that was so lovely, what you just said.
Shut
that was
up.
So heartwarming. What a nice way to end a podcast.
Goodbye.